Welcome to Common Thread. We hope you find these lessons helpful, but also we'd like to get to know you. If you go to our website /newcomer, we'll send you an email, some things to read about the community, and an invitation to a personal chat. If you're here in Raleigh, maybe face-to-face. If not, on Zoom. We hope you will. CommonThreadChurch.org/newcomer. Okay, here's the lesson. If you're sitting at home, you might be thinking, oh, I'm comfy here. I'm sitting on the couch. The device is on the other side of the room. No point. Why should I do that? But here's the thing. The only point of today is your input. And the only way you can give input is with the form, the device that I'm going to point you toward. So, yeah, go ahead, get up, walk across the room. We'll be here when you get back. And then go to our website, commonthreadchurch.org. And when you do that, what's going to happen is a pop-up is going to show up. And that pop-up is going to have two links on it. Now, don't X out of the pop-up. Now, if you've done that already, no problem, because we're all kind of habituated to X out of pop-ups. But if you've done it, just log out of the website, come back in, and the pop-up will show up again. I tested it to make sure that was true. Now, that pop-up is going to stay active until 8 o'clock tonight. So if you're watching on delay, you can still get it there. So what you're going to see is you're going to see two links. One of them says groups and events. That's the one I want you to go to now. So go ahead and click on that link. And it's going to take you to our first club day form. But you saw the second one, so you know we're going to be back for a second one in a minute. Now, you're going to fully understand everything that's on that form as we move through this morning. Now, in a bit, some folks are going to invite you to click one of their checkboxes so they can contact you about getting involved in something. Then about halfway through those invitations, I will say something like, okay, back to the pop-up, and all you do then is just back arrow until you see the pop-up again. Then you can click the other link and then repeat. So that's where we are. Now that's all super easy unless you're watching this later than Sunday night. Then that pop-up is going to be gone. So that's okay too, because all you have to do then is scroll to events and news and it'll be there as an announcement. We're going to leave that open for most of this week so that people can access it and we'll get back to you. It's also in the live stream notes. There's also a link in the app, so it's there. You can't miss it. So now you can put your phones down because, of course, you know, preachers got to preach. So I'm just going to tell you a story this morning before we begin club day. I was talking to a couple recently, pardon me, and it was a conversation that I've had several times in the last few months about how the pandemic has been impacting us. And this couple was struggling in their marriage. Old patterns that had been established a long time ago were kicking back up. Old personal patterns for each of them individually, but also relational patterns that they'd had early on in their relationship. And one of them said to me, you know, we know about self-awareness practice. We were part of a group. We know about the Enneagram. We were part of a group. We did those things. We know about our personality's core lies. We know about meditation. We know how it helps us let go of our ego selves. And we know about working the circle. And the thing is, we've done those things. And the thing is, we've also reaped the benefits of doing those things we have. Working the circle has changed us. It has. But one of them said, you know, we're starting the third year of the pandemic, and for many months, we've been able to say to ourselves, we're okay, we're doing all right. And for many months, there was a great big distraction, as has been true for a lot of people, learning new things, a new way to do work, new way to do school, new way to do jobs, changing. They changed their home, had to adjust their finances, had to adjust to a different rhythm of life, changed situation, changed plans, changed lives. Like a whole lot of people, there's been a lot of change going on in the last 2 years. And all that change took up a bunch of bandwidth and a bunch of attention. So, they said, we kind of didn't notice the slow erosion that was happening in our lives as we had let go of the rhythm of, the practice of, and the together component of working the circle. What we didn't notice was how we ourselves had been slowly devolving into a more base version of ourselves. And now, they said, we cannot tell ourselves any longer, yeah, it's okay, because it's not okay. Those old patterns are back. And we are entertaining thoughts that, yeah, maybe our marriage isn't going to make it after all. Which was sad for me to hear because I have great affection for these folks. But it's something that if you're reading about the state of our nation is happening a lot. We've had a lot of people facing a lot of these things as we see declining mental health, declining emotional health, declining relational health. And a big force that's driving that decline is the loss of connection that we are all experiencing with other people. So I told a couple this story. It is one of the stories that I told my kids growing up when I said, okay, kid, this is gold served to you on a silver platter. This is one of those stories. So if you've been around for any length of time here at the church, you've heard it as well. It's a story about the river. I worked through graduate school as a river guide, and at the put-in, when we'd put the boats in and when we would take the boats out, it was striking to me how a very little bit of water, just up to shin, maybe knee depth, when it's moving, has this powerful capacity to move a person. So that was the metaphor that I had in my mind when I was talking to my kids. And a conversation that we'd have on a pretty regular basis was this: hey, kid, you need better friends. You need better friends. Because friends, I would tell them, are like a river that you're standing in. They're all around you, and they're moving, and they're a lot more powerful than we tend to think when we consider the impact they have on our lives. So I would tell them, here's the thing about being human. Human beings get tired. We just do. We can set ourselves to mount a self-improvement endeavor, and we should. And we can resolve to live better lives, and we should. And we can say to ourselves, this time I'm going to be consistent, I'm going to exercise consistently, I'm going to meditate consistently, I'm going to speak more gently to the kids, I am, this time really I am. But the nature of being human is the nature of getting tired. We just do. Resolve and determination notwithstanding, human beings get tired. And when we do, we sit down. We resolve to do better, we try hard to do better, we do better for a while, and then we get tired, and then we sit down. That's just the way things go. But here's why, my child, you need better friends. Because when you sit down, your friends are the river. And your friends are either going to pull you back, or they're going to move you forward. They're going to pull you back, or they're going to move you forward. One of the greatest blessings in my life has been many, many good friends. And I have gotten tired, and I have gotten demotivated, and I've been discouraged, and I've had to sit down many, many, many times. And when I did, one of the most helpful parts of my life has been a phone call that I got because I didn't show up to meditate, or an email to remind me that we're going to be exercising after work, or a talk about some episode that I was finding discouraging, or somebody asking me some version of the "how's your soul" question. One in particular I remember was someone asking me about bitterness at a time when I was very discouraged. I was actually in a dig my heels in, I don't want to grow state, but that conversation became a pivotal moment in my life, even when I was sitting down. I've been the recipient of countless check-ins, friends asking about my soul, asking about my marriage, asking about my go-to ego strategies. Now, I have been pulled forward in my lifetime. Now, I hope I've done the same for others. I think I have, but I know others have done that for me. So when we say, when we talk about working the circle, that we put the communal practices first, it's not because they're more important than the others, but it's because once we establish a network of spiritual friendships, we become much more likely to do the other things, to meditate, to practice self-awareness, to learn deeply, to do the practices that happen in the other quadrant of the circle. So we put the communal practices first, and somehow, thank God, I ran into that notion very early on in my life. And during all my years struggling with my own ego self, trapped in my compulsive need for control, driven to complete the task even if I've hurt people in the process, stuck in all of my blind spots and my compulsions, all those interior drives, the biggest factor in all those things being dismantled has been the river around me. It has been the people around me. I sometimes read things that I wrote 20 years ago and I think, oh God, did I say that? Because I realized that even though at the time I told myself a story of innocence, I have worked really hard in my life to be a good person doing good things, Doesn't matter. My ego compulsions were telling me that I was doing a good thing when I was not. And I've done a lot of harm to people, and I regret looking back over those things. But more than that, when I look back, what I see is movement. I was where I was, but I didn't stay there. I was doing harm blindly, but I didn't stay there. And now, able to see what I couldn't see when I was in the moment, now that I can stand here and tell you about it, I can tell you why I can tell you about it today. It's because of all those people who surrounded me. The river in which I found myself, a river of people moving forward in the pursuit of growth together. So, pray to God this pandemic is going to wind down. I have a lot of hopes for this summer that perhaps we'll move from pandemic into endemic. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But when this pandemic does wind down, we are going to be left with the task of rebuilding the spaces where human beings connect. Rebuilding the spaces where we bump into each other. One of the features of a Zoom call is that we need to make an appointment to have a Zoom call. It's planned. Now, I am very grateful that we have Zoom. It's been very helpful for me during this pandemic. But collectively, what's happened is we have lost spaces where we congregate in an unplanned way. Because when we congregate in unplanned ways, we have unplanned interactions. We have serendipitous conversations because those spaces are where the river most frequently pulls us along. Those are the spaces where we bump into people, where we bump into our network. That's when we remind each other of what we most deeply want. That's when we create spaces for those unplanned interactions where we see a look on somebody's face. And because we see that look on the face, it prompts us to ask a deeper question. When we say something in passing that unbeknownst to us was pivotal, when we dispense encouragement that unbeknownst to us was pivotal, where we even accidentally have pull each other off of the ledge conversations because we didn't even plan it, but because we were in the same spaces, those things serendipitously happen. We're going to have to rebuild those places, and a good place to start is Club Day. Rebuilding the spaces that we can be together, where we can invite one another to belong. So, welcome to Club Day. And now's the time where you want to go to that phone. By the way, go to our website on your phone. Get your phone out right now and go to Club Day. You're going to see a pop-up. Go to the first one, Groups and Events. Now, you're going to notice as you're going through and decide to click on one of those boxes, some more questions are going to pop up if you clicked a box. Those are the questions that are trying to determine time and place. So some of our groups will have those extra questions that pop up because depending on the times and spaces you click, we'll determine when we're going to do it. Click as many of those that as apply to you. But now some of those checkboxes are not going to have other things because those times have already been set because that's when we had a leader. And so our first one, Kate, get ready to come up, start coming, is Kate. She's going to talk a little bit about our springtime newcomer group. Now, here's the thing, everybody, you need to know as you're coming to speak, this is a directional microphone. So you have to put your mouth this way and maybe just pull the mask just a little bit to the side and stand back there so you don't infect us. All right.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Kate Kish, and my name is not up there, but if you see it written, you
a little closer.
There's no way
there
that it's
go.
Pronounced Kish, but it is. It's K-I-E-C. So I'm Kate Kish. So happy to see everybody here today. I'm going to be in the back talking to any newcomers. So come and see me if you are a newcomer or if you have been here for a while and maybe you still feel like a newcomer a little bit. Our newcomer group is designed to help you process that we are a little bit of a different church here from most, and so it will provide you with a space to do that processing and to meet other people and to start to, what Doug says, work the circle, the communal and the learning quadrants of the circle. I also do the directory, and I can help you with the app. So if you have any questions about directory or app, come and see me as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Just need things to hold. All the moving parts. I think I'm just going to stay over here so I don't infect anybody. I'm not going to be putting this thing on and off every time. All right. So let's see. Oh, yeah. So we did that. Taking care of that. All right. Robin, come on up. Robin's going to talk to us about the Enneagram. By the way, about the newcomers group, it's going to be starting in the spring. Later in the spring, there's going to be two online events, and there's going to be two in-person events. The in-person events are a pizza, virus allowing, and then the two are going to be Zooms they're going to have with me. Okay, Robin, come up. There you go. Take that.
Okay, 2 minutes of why, and then 1 minute of what. How's that? All right, the why is I love the Enneagram because it gives me a tool for transformation, and here's a story about that. Of course, it's not flattering. So this week, I've started reading the scriptures at night, and I've started reading them out loud because it feeds my soul. And thank you, Jesus, that I'm not arguing with that. All right. And so I'm reading the scripture, and it says, our God is wonderful. And my whole body is shocked by that statement. And I'm thinking, well, I think I've read that before, so why is my body shocked? Okay, so I'm listening to my body. And then the next thing that happens is my heart says, no, your God is a burden. And now I'm going again, oh my gosh, you know, is this what happens when you listen to your heart? And is this what happens when you listen to your body? And I'm thinking, no wonder I haven't listened to my heart, and no wonder I haven't listened to my body all these years. It's telling me things I don't want to hear. But I also know that it's according to Scripture, and that is that God does say that I am a burden. I do give you a burden, but it just happens to be better than the other burden. And so it's like Bob Dylan says, everybody's going to serve somebody. Okay. So anyway, this is why I love the Enneagram, is because the Enneagram has taught me to listen to my heart and to listen to my body as sources of intelligence to give me a truer true. So thank you, Jesus, for the Enneagram and for teaching me to listen to my heart and listen to my body. All right. Now, so here's what we do at NRC, at Common Thread. You can tell how long I've been here. So in the fall, we form groups that are closed. So that means they form in the fall, and they go through May. And those are wonderful groups. I love them. Second thing we do is this month, or no, it's next month. Next Sunday, we will start an hour after church. We will do levels of development. And that means that for the next three Sundays, I'll spend 1 hour talking about the levels of development and how do you progress in your type. So the first Sunday is gut, the next Sunday is heart, and the third Sunday is head. And then the other thing that I'm starting, that we will see how that works, is that once a month for 1 hour after church, I will do an open Enneagram group, and that is, we'll see again how this works, is that you will come and you will bring any questions you have about your type or about your relationships, and we will just talk about it out loud with each other. And so we'll see if that works. If it feeds the need, then we'll continue. It. If it doesn't feed a need, then we won't continue it. So this is the equivalent of me throwing myself off the cliff. It's a lot of fun.
Heather?
Hi, I'm Heather. I am heading up and coordinating the Life Story Group. So I'm going to follow in Robin's footsteps and talk first about how and then about why. So the how, I think, is sometimes what throws people off in terms of wanting to do Life Story Groups. So, for example, I've done 5 Life Story
Groups.
Hold on
just a second. I think you also have to move a little bit closer because, okay, all right.
I've done 5. 3 of them have been via Zoom. So the minimum 3 people, we show up once a week, prearranged, and one person has been chosen in advance to be the storyteller. And as the name would indicate, you simply tell your life story. Some people prepare in advance, some people don't. Some people, the screen comes up and they start telling their life story. The part I think that intimidates people is it can take up to 2 hours. So the first time I signed up to do this, and I didn't go first, and when it turned out that in fact it took 2 hours for the life storyteller that day to tell the story, and yet I never felt like, I never felt bored, I never felt tired, I never felt wiggly, I was hooked. I'm an English major, I love stories. So 3 of those I've done via Zoom, and it's been like that. We tell the story at the end, we don't interrupt, we listen at the end, we thank the person for telling the story. Two of the groups, and I think this was in the lulls between Delta and Omicron, we actually were able to meet in person. And in those groups, it took a little bit longer because we discovered that we liked if we brought dessert or some fruit from our garden, fruit or vegetables from a garden, so we would come together, we might chat a little bit, leave the food on the coffee table, do exactly the same format, sit, listen to someone tell their life story. I think I've done that twice. So as spring's rolling around, I'm hoping to get to do that more. So that's the how. It is a little bit intimidating in that you're expected to tell the story of your life over 2 hours. You would be shocked, though, how fluidly it goes. It really does just sort of tell itself. Now in terms of the why, as Doug mentioned, I'm somebody also who likes to jump right to deep belonging. So I have a tendency to find the life stories of the people who wait on me at Harris Teeter and my pharmacist, and we went to REI a couple days ago and I found out the life story of two people in the store and the person. I love that. And it's not just that I love stories. I love to watch how people tell their stories. And you will find if you do a life story group with the people in the church that it is almost impossible to not have affection and empathy and sympathy for those people afterwards. Once you know what somebody has been through and how they're struggling to make it coherent and to make sense of it, it's impossible not to see that we're all pretty much cut from exactly the same cloth. So I of course, as the coordinator of the life story groups, think that this is the group you should start with, because when you're with people doing self-awareness or meditation or Enneagram, again, in terms of stepping up from public to social to personal to deep belonging, it sort of smooths things over if you've already heard their life story. So it's a great place to start because it's casual, it's informal, and it's fun. And so if you would like to get involved with Life Story Group, I will be sitting over there, and I will help you to find a minimum of 3 people for your group.
And click the box.
And click the box.
And social groups.
And social groups. I don't know what he's talking about.
And social groups. And social groups.
Now I remember what he's talking about. all right, so the next one, I'm also speaking for the social groups. This one I wasn't quite sure of. So when Doug asked me to talk about this, I had to go to him, and as a person who didn't grow up in a church, say, is it kind of weird and creepy that we're going to have social groups to do things like hike or play D&D with people in our church versus just, you know, our friends who aren't in the church? So we had to have that conversation because it kind of worried me that that's a behavior that I've seen in other churches, and it's sort of inclusive, cliquish behavior. So we talked about it. And I have come to realize, not only in my head, but because I'm as a 5 Enneagram, I'm a head on a stick, but in my body, that I am more likely to reach out to somebody for help. So for a few weeks ago, for example, I put out on the community board that I had just had it with everything that's happened in the last 2 years. And immediately Zane stepped forward and talked me, a couple other people as well, talked to me, told me that it had been the same for him and da, da, da. Social groups. We're going to try to find a way to come together as a community to do things like go hiking with our kids, to eat in restaurants together maybe one day, to do music together, to play D&D together. We have some ideas, but we're looking for people to come forward. Why would we go out of our way to make and form and attend social groups with people in our church? Because eventually after you've played D&D with someone, you're going to want to call them up and tell them that there's a funeral in your family that you can't make it to and you're getting kicked back and you're not sure how to handle it. And that conversation is more likely to happen if you have already done the public, social, personal, deep belonging. Several of those groups are kind of fledgling. We're looking for people to come forward, tell us what we want to do. We have started the Artsy People group, and that's been fun. We're starting to, you'll be noticing that a lot of the slides are the artwork from the people in our own community. So next to the table over there for Life Stories, if you have an idea for a social group, if you're interested in one of the social groups we've already thought of, talk to me, and we are hoping to get that started within the next couple months.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Click that box. It's on the form. Here's Julie Fan.
Spent in the morning with the divine guarantees that it will be in charge of your thought processes for the rest of the day. And that has proven true for me, that the more time I spend meditating, the less attached I am to my thoughts, the less attached I am to my personality, to my beliefs, to my feelings, to my physical sensations, the more centered and loving I am. So I would invite you to try it for yourself and see if more and more you reap benefits from this
contemplative practice. We're going to offer 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week, with me or with Pearlie. We're also offering 45 minutes in an evening, 1 day a week, to experience a deeper or greater sampler of meditative practices and to see what fits you. So join us, and I look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks. Bye.
So it's just as Julie said, you'll find in the form, there's a 5 minute, five times a week group. If you click that box, it's going to give you a bunch of time slots available. All those will be weekdays. There's a 45 minute spot on those 5 minutes a day one. Pearlie is available for the 6:30 in the morning one. Everybody else is, all the other groups are going to be with Julie. Meditation. So click all the times that work for you, because we'll select one of those times. The 45-minute one is going to be a sampler of a whole bunch of different kinds of meditative practices, so click as many evenings as work for you. Here's Christy Phillips talk about self-awareness.
I'm going to talk to you about the self-awareness, self-disclosure worksheet, and why it matters to me.
A couple weeks ago, we had the ice storm, and I was scheduled to go to California to visit my dad. And with the weather and anticipating canceled flights on the return home, I had to reschedule the trip for 3 weeks. Not that big of a deal, right? It's just 3 weeks. But for me, that's when the stories started. The stories that I've carried my entire life about being bad, being unworthy, being unlovable. And whenever my plans get canceled like this, there's an underlying story that I tell, that this is proof that I'm bad and that God is punishing me because I am bad by taking away everything that I want. But because I engage in the self-awareness, self-disclosure process, we call it doing the worksheet, I have the tools that I need to observe my reactions and to not be controlled by them anymore, to release the wounding and the fears and the pain that it has caused me in the past. So I observed this pattern, I recognized it, and I was able to release it before it did any damage. And by damage, I mean that in the past, it would have resulted in me having a terrible week, snapping at everyone around me, kind of going into a sullen, depressed state where I cannot derive joy from life, and it would have taken me a long time to let it go. It still bothered me, but because I was aware of my patterning, I was able to let it go a lot faster and resume life. And what that gives me is freedom, freedom from fear, freedom from this pattern that causes me so much pain. And I would love to share this process with you. We're going to be doing some practice groups, and I really hope that you'll come join us to observe how we do a worksheet and how we let go of these things that cause us this pain unnecessarily. So I hope that you'll join me today after church, and Doug will tell you more about that schedule. See you soon.
So my patterns, the stories I tell myself, have been less about causing me pain. My pattern, the stories I tell myself, have been about causing other people pain, which I didn't recognize at the time, which I thought I was being a noble and good human being. I can't tell you what reprieve there is being on the other side of so much of that stuff. So I strongly encourage you to participate in this, to learn this practice, to learn these skills. Now, what we're planning to do this year is more fully develop these groups in our community. Here's what we imagine. We imagine starting with two come, observe, see how it goes, live demonstration meetings. My light mic just died, like out of a battery. I've still got battery. I'll restart it. How about now? No signal? Okay, well, I'll just use this one. How's this? This one's still working? 1, 2, 3. Okay, that's good. Okay. So, here's a little bit of inside baseball stuff. I do not have enough hands to do this now. I've got this hand and this hand, and now I've got that thing. I'm in trouble. No, I'll do this. So here's what we imagine. We imagine we're going to have two come and observe meetings. Then after that, then we're hoping to have a retreat. And the retreat that we're thinking of is a one-day thing. And at that one-day thing, a chance to get fully immersed in the process, to walk away with a sense of competence. I feel like I know how to do this. I feel like I could do this. Now, if we can, we'll get to that in the spring this year. If we can't, then we'll try and do it in the fall. Then after the retreat, we hope to form cohorts, not unlike the life story groups. So if there are three people in the group, you meet three times. Four people in the group, you meet four times. Each time to practice doing the thing together, because it's such a significant skill. It's such a bedrock cornerstone skill. So step one, no matter how we go, spring or fall, is Zoom in today at noon. We started later today, noon, just so that you can ask all the questions you want. I'm going to try and get home to be on the Zoom by noon. So after that, then we'll figure out more what's going to happen as the year goes by. It's also important to know that if you, like many people, are having more conflict in your relationship during this time of pandemic, this skill set, this capacity for self-awareness, is the foundation, the bedrock of a conflict resolution process we use quite effectively. So that's an important thing to know. I would encourage you to participate in this one. Cameron, come on up. He's going to talk about book club. Wait a minute, I got to work with this hand. No, did I have book club up there before? Okay, well, here's book club.
Here we go. All right, I'm Cameron, and I'm going to talk about the book club. So I started the book club because I love to talk about ideas, ideas about people, relationships, spirituality, technology. Because I work in a career in computers, I get to talk about technology all the time. Everything else kind of gets blown to the wayside. My conversations in my adult life are, did we feed the kids? Did we pick up cat food? Do we have enough coffee for the morning? Did I remember to do the thing that I promised Heather that I would do that I'm now totally forgetting about? I didn't go to college in my 20s. I just started a few years ago, so I missed the opportunity to have a community that encourages people to read and talk about books and talk about ideas. So when this opportunity came up to have a book club to talk about ideas, I was happy to start it. The book club, a couple things. It holds me accountable to finish a book, because I've probably got 10 that I have started and not finished. And it guarantees a time physically or virtually and mentally to talk about these things. So in the fall, we started a book club. We did Breathing Underwater by Richard Rohr. Everybody here seems to love Richard Rohr, and it's one of my favorite books to read. And we sat on my back porch, and we read through a chapter pretty much per week, and then we came together and to talk about it. And I got to meet people and talk to people that I never would have talked to before or never had really any in-depth conversations that we had. So this winter, we're going to read Doug's book. I heard it's great. We're going to do it over Zoom because of Omicron and because it's too cold to meet on the back porch. We'll kind of go through the same thing. We'll have where we read for a week, and then we get together and talk about it. Because it's Zoom, there's some people remotely that want to, log in and to discuss it. And also makes it easy for scheduling, because we can do it at, 8 o'clock at night or so when kids are in bed, people don't have work. It will hopefully fit the schedule, everybody's schedule. So definitely come click the button. Is that correct? And I'll see. What's that? Doug wrote it. That's all you need to know. Doug can tell you about it. I haven't read it yet.
The book is basically looking at the core narrative that has shaped the way we have done the Christian church for the last 500 years. Because that narrative has fallen apart, because that worldview is falling apart. What might it look like to rebuild a narrative on the basis of this new quantum worldview that we live in? That's kind of what the book's about. Okay, now, you've been down the form, you've checked all the boxes that apply, but all of that will be for naught if you don't click the last thing, and that is the submit button. Because down at the bottom, if you don't push submit, nothing registers. So, go back into the form, find the form, click submit, or else nothing. And then, once you've done that, now's the time to back arrow all the way back to the pop-up until you get to the service quadrant one, then click that form, all right? I'll give you a minute to do that. Submit, back, click. Now you're in a new form. Ask away. Nope, nobody else has children. It's all your... So the first thing that we struggle with children is the time slots. Because when you've got kids, now the pandemic has been particularly difficult on parents. Here's what we have done in the past, and we will do again for the Enneagram starting next week. Julie, make sure that, remind me, Julie Thompson, remind me, we have to get hold of Quenisha because we've always done childcare during the things that we do after church. But, we do fewer and fewer things after church because, virus. So that's been a challenge. So if you can overcome that challenge, then the next thing is, what can you do about self-awareness when you have children? Not much with your children, although there's a lot of core questions you can start with them to help move them toward their own interior self-awareness. But I will tell you, one of the things that most shaped my capacity to be a parent was the work that I did around self-awareness. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Pandemic. Here's that word again. Starts with an F. It's just pandemic. All right, so now here's the thing. We're going to talk about the service quadrant. Because the service quadrant is a quadrant because it's such a critical part of spiritual growth and development. Now, we serve the world because, yes, the world needs people of good intent who are working to make it a better place. But we also serve the world because we need to be serving something bigger than ourselves. It is a tried and true way, service is, to begin to make our egos not the center, to make our own concerns about our own lives the center of our lives. So, in a way, it is a way that we progress on the journey because we chip away at being ego at the center of who we are. Now, it's to be sure when we start, I'm a great case in point, when we start serving others, we always do as a way to serve our own egos. It makes us feel good about us. That's how I started. But consistent service over time has a way of chipping away at the self that we tend to put at the center, the ego self. So the service quadrant, very important. And my hope is that today, Club Day, that we all choose either one big way to serve or several small ways to serve. Service is a whole quadrant of the circle for a reason. It is one of the core ways that we become. It's one of the core ways that we grow into. So, one group, I hope you'll participate in a group of belonging and either one or many places to serve. So, that being said, Angie, I just saw you. Where are you? Angie, come talk about One Wake.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I always look for a sign that I'm doing the right work because the road rises up to meet me, and that happened this morning. Facebook gave me a quote just for today. It was amazing. Any religion that professes to be concerned about the souls of men and is not concerned about the slums that damn them, the economic conditions that strangle them, and the social conditions that cripple them, is a spiritually moribund religion awaiting burial. Wise words from Martin Luther King. So, I'm here to talk to you about how we serve in an effort to live up to that mandate. And there's two ways we show our concern. One is the stuff you're more, is more typical of church communities, like providing food, clothing, and shelter to those in need. At Common Thread, we've done that in the past in ways like helping with Temple's Table, Meals on Wheels. We have done food drives, coat drives, diaper drives. We even joined hands with a group called WIN before and had a homeless shelter in our church for a week at a time in the past. And we definitely invite you to continue to do that kind of work and seek those opportunities and participate as we make them available. But the second part of that is, in addition to addressing the immediate needs, we get at why these needs consistently exist in our city. What systemic forces are at work to create those conditions, and how can we make things more fair and expand opportunity? So our efforts to be involved in those conversations have led us to join a effort called One Wake. Over 40 diverse faith communities in this area have joined together to participate in One Wake. They use a community organizing model based on grassroots involvement and pragmatic power analysis. And so it's kind of like the 40 communities, faith communities, provide some resources and people power to help. But the consistent focus on the questions is led by the staff at One Wake who work with us to bring our ideas to fruition. Through caucuses, we've identified three areas of focus: affordable housing, jobs, and public education are areas where people currently experience suffering, and we would like to bring some remedy to the systems that have brought that suffering. In the past, we've engaged in activities like attending trainings in community organizing, voter registration and get out the vote drives, canvassing neighborhoods that are experiencing gentrification to get perspectives from the residents there about the changes happening in their neighborhoods, asking people to be present at assemblies, press events. I will say that right now we have the most energy behind the affordable housing question. So a lot of our actions are related to that. What I think is a key idea about One Wake is that it takes a very long-term view. We're looking for 20 years down the road for this organization to still be wielding influence and be effective in this community. So it's a very long-term effort. It's also very think global but act local. So we are trying to bring about local government pressure. And not a lot of us know a whole ton about local government. We tend to focus a lot on national politics. Some people think about state politics, but a lot of us are not as educated about local government, which actually has the power to do the most change on the ground in the fastest manner. So we look at a lot at the city council, county commissioners, and school boards, for example, as pressure points that we can help create change and alleviate suffering. So if you're interested in that, I'll be sitting right over there, and I would love to talk with you more about it.
Thank you. Okay, I'm monitoring the time. I think we got about 12 more minutes. Let me talk to you about, that was One Wake. Sorry, that was for her. Here's one of the things that's important for us as a community. I think there are a lot of things that we could do better if we had organizing help. We usually have people willing to show up to do stuff, but we have a little bit harder time getting people to organize things and then tell us what to do. So one of those areas is what Angie just mentioned, community service. I think we could do better at the community service part of what we're doing as a community. So we do approach it that way, systems work that you mentioned and service work. What I would like to have is I'd like to have six community service events a year for us to do together as a community. But that means we would need six people to organize an event, or if you'd like to organize two, even better. We put out a thing a while ago, and we got one. we got Carolyn. And so we're looking to get some folks to be part of that. And so everything, I was just talking to a guy who participates in a meetup here in town. It's called the Great Raleigh Cleanup. And what they do is they get together, they have some coffee on the back of a pickup truck, and then they just go pick up trash. And then they talk to each other while they're picking up trash. I would love it if our community would participate with that. Cleaning up the streams, helping with the food bank, helping, there's a women's shelter that we could help with. There's Temple's Table is a thing. There's a lot of things we could do, but we will need folks to help organize them. So if you're an organizer, then you look on the form there. There's the, yep, I know how to organize that kind of stuff. Click that button, and then a whole bunch of options will show up underneath that. But the first of them will be the community events coordination. So the other thing you could help organize, Shelby, come on up, is helping things with our kids. You could help participate in the Booster Club for our elementary children. You don't have enough hands.
I got it. I can multitask. I'm bringing a lot of things up with me. All right. So I want to tell you guys what. Whoop. I want to tell you guys what we are doing with our kids and why. So my main goal working with the kids is to make a place where they don't have to worry about stuff. They can come and receive what they need. So belonging, love, fun, that looks different for every kid, right? So making sure that we're doing a good balance. Of course, we want to teach them some things. We do practice a lot of the things that the general church does. When you come over here, you'll see some things that are up there. Even if you don't want to chat with me about helping with the kids, I encourage you to come take one of our little affirmations that the kids wrote for New Year's. I also have a bucket if you want to make one and post it up. So take what you need, put up what you have. This one says, I have value. So that's something really important to us. I just made this. We haven't started using it yet. But this is like one of those you choose greetings. A lot of teachers use these. So whether they want to have a high five or a toe tap, or if they want to come up with their own cool secret handshake, or there's a no thanks option if they just want to come in and get to it that day. And then I think that this is also a good representation of our group, is our Everyone Belongs, painting. So the kids get to put their hands up here. Our rules for the class, that sort of thing, we're not focused on that. So I let the kids kind of come up with norms for each other, what we want to hold each other to. My favorite one is be chill. So we do a lot of arts and crafts, I really just, want to create a space where the kids belong. And if you want to be a part of that, come chat with me. I have a lot more thoughts, but we don't have that much time. So I could talk about them forever.
Just tell Shelby we love her. We're so glad she's here. So first, we need organizers for the elementary. So if you'd be willing this year to organize an egg hunt or a Christmas party or a kid-friendly service event, there underneath the I Can Organize thing, click that button. But second, if you're not an organizer, there in the I'm not an organizer, but I can pitch in and help button, then you could find a way that you could assist a teacher on Sunday, or you can come at an event, or you could bring some snacks, or really you could just be on call, and Shelly and McKenzie could ask you for help when you need it. So look through both questions and click what you think would apply to you. And here's Lindsay to talk about, or Lindsay and Mariah, talk about our teenagers.
Good morning. I'm Lindsay. So teenagers or teens and tweens are at a really interesting part in their life where they are trying to figure out what values they hold and what a better way for the church to really wrap around them and be an exemplar of that, because they are breaking away a little bit from their parents, but they're also still just trying to navigate friends or navigating different social things that are happening, and they're trying to figure out where they stand in all of that. And that's why they're so cool. But if you are interested in just being a guidepost for our teenagers, because really I think it takes a village for teens, because they're constantly looking at us and figuring out who they would like to model their behavior after. And so come on and hang out with us. And here's Mariah.
I'm going to do this way because I've got glasses and I've got all this earrings. I did not plan correctly my outfit. But anyway, I'm Mariah. There are several people who know me from a long time. And there are several people who don't. But I also work with the teens with Lindsay. So I just wanted to add, our teens are awesome. Oh my gosh, have you guys talked to them recently? I mean, goodness. You should give it a try if you haven't. We've got several of them in the room. They're just awesome. And Lindsay is awesome. I try to be awesome on the good days. So I just really want to invite everybody to kind of board the awesomeness train with us. What I've found is that even just showing up to help with things like this in the past before I was officially a teen helper person, what ends up happening is I would show up to help with a small thing, you know, set out some trays or like, let's go to lunch and stuff. And even just those small moments become awesome in ways that I never expect, in ways that I'm always grateful for, and I just always leave my interactions with the teens going, oh, that was just awesome, and I didn't expect this small moment of whatever it was to turn into such a great experience. So I just really want to encourage everybody and invite you guys to come be awesome with us, and if you have questions about that, please feel free to let us know. As you can tell, I could talk about this forever, so thank you.
Well, that's just awesome. Okay. So it's the same thing with Mariah and Lindsay as it was with Shelby. If you've got organizer skills, you'll see there you can help organize a lunch after church, maybe a bonfire, maybe a service event for the teenagers, maybe a camp out. So if you could help with that. But if you're not an organizer, then under the show up but not organized button, maybe you could be a substitute on a Sunday when they need to be out of town or bring snacks or be a helper at an event. Click as many boxes as would work for you. And finally, then just take a look down the rest of the form. You will see there's a couple of things that I didn't mention. We've had a flurry of people recently in the community facing life troubles, which means we need an organizer or organizers. COVID, of course. Some people having tough diagnoses, a couple of people facing cancer. It's good for us as a community to stand with one another in times of trouble, but it used to be that you just brought a meal, but DoorDash has given Meal Train a run for it. You know, what do we really need that? So we're hoping to find somebody or some somebodies who can help us assess what would be best. Then have a group of volunteers who would be able to help at that time with maybe a card, maybe a call, maybe a DoorDash, maybe just a visit or a ride or something like that. So this week, for example, with COVID quarantine going on and a family having a birthday party, here's what it meant. It meant a red velvet cake being delivered. So Julie got on the phone and she found a bakery that delivered. She made sure that they had a birthday cake on the day. So just some little way that we say, we know you're facing trouble, we want you to know you're not alone, and we're with you. So we're looking for folks who would help coordinate that, organize that, make sure that happens. So if you if that's you, there underneath the button. You'll also see there underneath the button, Heather earlier talked about social groups. That's another place to check that box. Also, you can see that I'm looking for some help with just computer stuff. So all that's in there. Please take a moment, scroll through both the I can help organize or not an organizer, click whatever buttons apply. And with that, we're almost finished with Club Day because you can't leave that form until you push submit. So go ahead, push submit. And with that, that was Club Day, people. The people who surround us are like a river that we stand in, pulling us forward, pulling us back. Now, my youngest son has given me permission to tell any stories, and this is one of his. He and I have gone around and round about drug use since he was 15 years old. And I am grateful that the only remaining drug of choice on his list is pot, but even pot, he has not been a recreational user. He's been a heavy user and he's been a mood managing user, which is more to the point. And early on, my fallback position with him was, it was my fallback position, my first position was that stuff's poison, stay away from it. But my fallback position was to encourage him to use pot the way that I used alcohol, which is occasionally and particularly not as a form of medicating some kind of an emotional pain. And he was not buying that notion. So it's been an ongoing dialogue. this far along. Most of the negative energy is out of the discussion. There was negative energy early on. A lot of it was mine, because when a parent is worried about a child, yeah, that's what happens. But something has happened this last couple of years. He moved to Florida, and then he moved to Austin. And he went to be with some friends, and they worked together in a company. And these friends have been a river that when he gets tired and when he sits down, pull him forward, not backwards. Living with and working with these friends, whenever he would default to mood managing, using pot to do so, he'd be going against his river. And over time, he began to see the contrast between how he had habituated his patterns and what he was living with. And in this river, he started to feel his own interior desire to be more authentic, less numbed out, to be that version of himself. And so he was telling me this on one of our weekly video chats. Here's what I did not say. I did not say, "I told you so." Didn't say it. Not me. I wouldn't have done that. But what I did say was, I am so glad you've got a group of friends who, when you sit down, pull you forward. Now, he's fully conversant in the river analogy, so you knew exactly what I was talking about. Well, that same principle applies. If we're medicating ourselves with a substance or with entertainment or with porn, and it applies if we're yelling at our kids or succumbing to discouragement or settling for too little or giving away our power or believing that we have to please our way through life, the same principle applies. So when I say each week, there is a great return on investment when we invest in spiritual community. It's a real thing. We are transformed by the river we stand in. And we all, every one of us, create that river. And what we've talked about today, that's how we do it. And so, indwelling divine, may we be ever and always moving toward becoming a healthier and healthier, authentic spiritual community. Amen. Okay, if you would, prepare your offerings, and as you do that, remember, return on investment. We give our time and our energy and our love and our dollars to one another, and what happens is it turns around, it's given back to us, amplified, because we create the space in which human being thrives. And that said, if you would, how am I going to do this? All right. Pardon? Put your hand on your heart. Let's remember as we go that we are, every one of us, carriers of the indwelling divine. Love and joy, peace, kindness, goodness, courage, virtue, wisdom, insight. It's in us, deep sometimes, but it's in there. And now if you would extend your other hand to our community, and let's look for opportunities to share what's in us with the people that we live and work, go to school with, looking for opportunities to repair and heal our worlds. Amen. God bless you online. You are dismissed. We'd love to connect with you in real life. CommonThreadChurch.org/newcomer. And if you'd like to take an ownership stake in the well-being of the community, we all contribute online. You'll find a donate button at the top of our website. See you next time. We'd love to connect with you in real life. CommonThreadChurch.org/newcomer. And if